You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news, sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Welcome, and thanks again for tuning in to Black on Black Crime. Our dial-in number for today's show is 909-265-9189, 909-265-9189, and we have a big show today, and I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Remember, the chat room is now open. You can email us at bobc@soulofsyracuse.com if you like. We have some internet comments. We get them all the time, so we'll be sure to answer some of those as they come in. On this show, we're talking about music legend Stevie Wonder versus the Lil Wayne or Dwayne M. Carter Jr.'s lyrics that he had referring to Emmett Till. We also have a Black on Black Crime, Black History segment. I want to preview a show that's on PBS that I thought was pretty good. It's called Slavery by Another Name. There's also an Australian Herman Cain, which I think is interesting. We're going to see if that is a black-on-black crime, entertainment updates, and more. But before we get started, in case you missed last week's show, we had Keisha Cole versus the Michelle Williams Super Bowl performance with Destiny's Child. You know, she was doing a little hating. And we had the controversial Lifetime movie Betty and Coretta, and that Terpunctino, that punk, comments about Roots. And so you go check it out in the archives, and I'm sure it'll all make sense to you. But on this show, I want to welcome in our commissioner. Kathleen is first up on the line. How you doing, Kathleen?
I'm doing great, Jerome. How are you?
I'm doing good. And you had a great show yesterday with Professional Style, Sundays at 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. on ACN. How was it?
It was really good.
How was it for you?
Dr. Nina Cherie about her new book and her work as a research scientist and professional nutritionist, certified therapist, physical trainer.
she was
really great. Really interesting stuff she talked about. So yeah, I was happy.
With your co-host Ronnie, although we didn't bring her on the show, but we talked about her last show, so she didn't. She didn't blast me, so apparently she didn't hear the show last week.
She's right here, actually. And I told her, I was like, how come you didn't call in, Ronnie? How come you didn't call in? I was still digging out.
Oh, hey, been there.
Nice.
All right. We also want to bring in our other partner in crime, Daniel Woodson from Houston. How you doing, Daniel?
I'm all right, my brother, and yourself?
Good.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hey, Daniel, how you doing?
All right. Recovering from All-Star Weekend.
You know, I want that. That's one thing that I wanted to talk about. How was Houston doing All-Star Weekend?
It was awesome, man. It's one of those things that happens probably every decade, I guess, in most cities. And believe me, it's all worth the hype.
I saw a little bit of the All-Star game. I don't really watch them that much unless something spectacular happens, and this one happens to be close. So when I saw the very end, I mean, it was only a four-point difference at some point late in the fourth quarter. So I know with all the hype, and I'm tired of the comparisons of what LeBron did opposed to Kobe, but All-Star weekend has to be crazy. So they're out with the fans.
Oh,
they're partying. They're doing all kind of stuff, so can't really take that game to mean too much.
It was a party nonstop from Thursday through last night. I'm just not as young as I used to be.
I hear you. I was going to say, you sound a little drained, so I didn't want to go there and say how
I'm
you're
on fumes, excellent. I'm on fumes.
Yeah, all right, cool. And Kathleen, have you watched BET Honors yet?
Oh, my goodness. I'm watching it now.
You are perfect.
Actually, I'm not watching it now, but I'm trying to recoup from not saying I was going to watch it before today. No one's going to watch it yet.
Okay. Now, BET Honors, which honored Halle Berry. Notice how her name came first. It honored Halle Berry, Clarence Avant, Bishop T.D. Jakes, Lisa Leslie, and Chaka Khan. You know, I tried to get some audio from that show because Wayne Brady did a phenomenal job in singing. I don't know if you heard that, Daniel. Did you hear any of them?
I didn't hear about that.
He did a phenomenal job in singing the Gap Band song, Outstanding.
Well, he got killed.
People should get tired of sleeping on Wayne Brady.
People what?
I said people are sleeping on Wayne Brady.
Wayne Brady is the bomb.com man. He's pretty his game show also.
Let's make a deal.
Yeah.
I think I've watched it probably about 10 minutes of it at the most, but I have a lot of respect for Wayne Brady. It's not to say any slam against Wayne Brady why I didn't watch that show, but I actually, like I said, have a lot of respect, especially after the Dave Chappelle.
That was funny.
Not only was that hilarious, that was hilarious and gangster. He did kind of a Training Day kind of thing on after hosting Dave Chappelle's show. Dave Chappelle tried to come back, and he wouldn't give him his show back. And so and the reason that is funny, it just shows that we have to be bilingual. And just because he's bilingual don't mean he doesn't have the edge to him. So Wayne Brady showed out. Now, I have an internet comment from Willie Grant, good friend Willie. He said he just saw Mike Tyson's Undisputed Truth and would recommend it. He said it's interesting, funny, and it makes you say, on that. So if you get a chance, he has his one-man show. So a good friend of mine says it was really good. He wouldn't say it wasn't good unless it was. So if you get a chance to see Mike Tyson's Undisputed Truth, see it. And also, I have another internet comment. This is just kind of a random comment and a random thought. But it says, according to the 2012 study from the City of Economic and Policy Research, the minimum wage would actually be $21.72 an hour if it kept pace with the increases in workers' productivity.
21 what?
$21.72.
Get out of town.
That's how much money corporations are making in this country. Don't get me started on the billions that Facebook made, and they're paying no taxes this year. Zero. They get a tax refund of a couple hundred million dollars, but they pay no taxes. Thank you very much.
Gotta love the tax code.
Well, I don't even know where to go with that. I don't know. Okay, so that just means we have to woo-saw, and we're going to take a quick break. We're going to have a public service announcement or something, and we're going to come back with our first topic, because I do want to ask, is this a black-on-black crime? When we talk about an Australian version of Herman Cain, don't laugh, but I saw the story. I thought we should talk about this, so we'll talk about it. We'll take a break. It is Black History Month, so our first segment. Not just that, but we are going to also talk about A Slavery by Another Name, a show that's on PBS. And our main topic, Stevie Wonder versus Lil Wayne, which is coming up later. But I want to thank you for joining us. This is Black on Black Crime. You can call in 909-265-9189, 909-265-9189. Kathleen, is Ronnie still there with you?
Yes.
Okay, because
I know all about Lil Wayne.
Oh, yeah. See, I figured you were going to yell about that, so I just wanted to make sure you was there. All right. Hang on with us, Daniel and Kathleen. We'll be right back in a minute.
starting Sunday, this coming Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a new show called Professional Style, where we talk about singles, professionals, parents, travel, lifestyle, and living. If you are a professional, if you're single, you're a parent, or whatever your status in life, Professional Style, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on Ask Kathleen Network.
Welcome to Esprinet News, 90-second news break. The mayor of New York City announced that those arrested in New York City for possession of small amounts of marijuana will no longer have to spend the night in jail. Effective next month, anyone presenting an ID and clearing a warrant check will be released with a disappearance ticket. New York City is one of the highest rates of marijuana arrests in the world. The Affordable Health Care Act, or Obamacare, appears to be working as intended. Older Americans and people with disabilities are paying less for their prescription drugs under Medicare. According to a report, health care reform has saved 1.6 million people more than $5.7 billion. A 21-year-old Swedish golfer felt a sharp pain in her ankles as she played golf in Australia. When she looked down, she realized she had been bitten by a deadly black widow spider after swatting it away. Before she knew it, she doubled over in pain, but she squeezed the poison out with a golf tee and continued playing. That's just crazy. Legendary singer Chubby Checker sued Hewlett-Packard and Palm, claiming they violated his trademark by selling or giving away the Chubby Checker app, which enables women to estimate the size of their man's based on their shoe size. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for Espritnet News on ACN.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome, hanging out with the Commissioner Kathleen, and our other partner in crime, Daniel, is chilling today on the show. We have plenty of, wait a minute, I think I kind of screwed up on here a little bit. My bad, everybody cool?
That was the jam there, boy.
See, you know what, coming from that all-star weekend, Daniel. I was trying to mellow us into the show.
You ignited some of these fumes that are left.
Hey, wait a minute! I almost came back with knee deep because that's on the board now. We're gonna have some P Funk in the show at some point today. So, just wanted to share that. All right, so Kathleen, you still with us? We didn't want to run her out the club.
Yeah, no, I'm still here.
You're still here? Okay. All right, she must be watching the BET Awards. You all right? BET Honors? All right, just wanted to say that. Now, here is, I guess, I don't know why I want to ask this question about a black-on-black crime, but, you know, the United States, we kind of export a lot of craziness, right? Just kind of like blue jeans. We export racism and all this other stuff. So I saw this news story, and I wanted to talk about this because I think we are sending the wrong message. Now, an Australian politician has sparked kind of a racial thing after saying prison is good for Aborigines as it means they get to spend time with their families. Now, Bess Price, who is kind of a congressman in the country's Liberal Party. Now, it's kind of like the Democrats, but she made the comment after a legislative assembly agreed to change its mandatory sentences for violent offenders. So Price, who is an Aboriginal Australian activist, was responding to the Labor Party opposition, which is kind of like the Republicans' opposition in changing the law, which they said would see prison numbers increase significantly if they had mandatory sentencing. But she argued that jail had benefits for young Aborigines. She said, while they're being in prison, they don't get to drink, they don't get to get in trouble, They are fed 3 times a day. They are there with their family members. They sleep. Wait a minute. They sleep in their language groups, and they come out of prison much healthier. Now, Labor Party member Lynn Walker said Price's comments were a sad indictment of what our system is. Okay, I'll let you go first on this. Now, is this kind of an extreme Herman Cain on Australia's side?
You know, I didn't hear Herman Cain's comment, but this alone, it just speaks volumes to the ignorance of some people. She has to be completely out of touch. And then Aborigines in general are treated probably worse than we've been treated over the history of Australia. So
right. They
are thought to be subhuman. I watched a documentary a while back when Australia was first colonized, how they were literally almost exterminated by the British. So, but this comment about spending time with their family members and assuming that just because they are Aboriginal, they're going to be criminals and do things that are dangerous to society is just ridiculous.
And it's good for them to be in jail. Right.
I mean,
just the comment saying they get to see their family implies that they're all in jail. So this speaks to Aborigines people across the sphere. I mean, if you talk about the Israelis, the black people who are Jewish and those guys living in the hills, or the Cubans, the Aborigine folks down, just everybody across the board, can you see how problematic oppression is if you're oppressed for a long period of time? I mean, this is Black History Month, and I could give you some Carter G. Woodson statements about, you know, opening up the front door, and if you're oppressed enough, you'll still run to the back door trying to open it up. You can board it up, and they still feel like they're second-class citizens. So, Kathleen, the commissioner is up, because we're not committing black-on-black crimes. We're just kind of calling this one out. What do you think about this? And she has a dark complexion, too. She's not – I wouldn't say she was even biracial as an Aborigine. She is – She is from that community. I don't know what to say.
She's hoodwinked, bamboozled, and brainwashed, and just really sad. That's just really sad.
You know.
Oh yeah, send them all to jail. Send them all to jail so they can hang out with their people and, you know, learn some life skills and be protected. Ugh. Oh my gosh.
In the spirit of Kai not being here, I want to say this.
Smile, you've just been jangled.
That's her being jangled. Every time you get jangled and misrepresented, we have Kai on the board letting y'all know. Kai is going to kill me for that. But I just wanted to say that. Kathleen, you're right.
Yep.
Being hoodwinked, being jangled, all of that is problematic in the big picture.
It's horrible. Somebody needs to take her on a really long retreat.
See, and lucky I don't have my you need to be Tubman on the board. See, but it's Black History Month, so I'm refraining from being too over the top on this. But it just seems kind of strange, like when you get into a certain position of authority to actually look down on your own folks like they can't be helped. It's crazy. So
well, it reminds me of my trip to South Africa and meeting someone who is considered colored and then a darker-skinned black, and having the person who is lighter-skinned say to me that they are less than me because they're darker than me. And I'm sitting there like, wow, this woman just told me this like as if not even a second thought.
Right.
So I can understand how this Aboriginal woman or woman from the Aboriginal community, now she's come up and risen above her circumstances and not looking down on these people because people do it.
Right, and that is something that's been sold to them. You know who started that, right? Who tells you that being light is better, right? And so you have to be programmed with some old I Love Lucy episodes, but back in the 50s kind of programming to say, here is the subservient group, and those guys in those countries, whether it's China, India, Japan, they started seeing all of those old programs and they play them in rerun to think less of themselves. I'm sure they watch old Tarzan movies. You know what I mean? So when you do that, you kind of build a whole class of people that has to kind of break their way out of that frame of reference or that way of thinking.
Well, what I'm visualizing right now is the 1930s, 1940s. Cause I like to watch an old black film and seeing that the Dorothy Dandridges and Lena Horne, light-skinned blacks, Gab Calloway, tended to get more of the limelight. You know, every now and then you had Bill Bojangles Robinson or someone like that who was a darker-skinned person get the limelight, but it was almost portrayed that this is the black person we will accept. So
right.
I can see, and a lot of people talk about it being race being an issue. It's skin color to me, and if you look at it, and I think we spoke about this in one of the other series, in the caste system in India, if you're darker skinned, you're thought to be less attractive.
Right.
So I think that has a lot to do with it as well.
Right. And in a lot of cultures, it's like that, where they use your complexion as a class system. In Brazil, Spike Lee is shooting a documentary over there now, and it's talking about as an economic power, but they have a bad class system. Who else? Mexico is another one. The George Washington of Mexico and the major player in the Mexican Revolution, they were black. They weren't anything else. They weren't Spanish black people. They were black. And so they were African black, and they have huge statues of them. But if you look at Mexico now, you don't see any real diversity because they have problems with skin color in Mexico. So you don't want to go on a cruise ship and get off in Mexico and let your boat leave. Like, wait a minute, do you belong here? Because, you know, if you're not a tourist, I'm sure they have problems, you know, bad class problems there. I was looking at this movie on PBS based on the 2009 Pulitzer Prize-winning book of the same name by Wall Street Journal journalist, he's a writer, Douglas Blackman. It's called Slavery by Another Name. It challenges the assumptions that slavery ended with Abe Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation of 1863. It's directed by longtime Spike Lee editor, as well as director and produced in his own right, this guy Sam Pollard. And he incorporated reenactments, interviews with historians and descendants of both slaves and the enslaved. Now, it's punctuated by narration by Lawrence Fishburne, and it's a 90-minute film. It narrates the years after the Civil War when this treacherous form of forced labor emerged in the American South. Now, I have a clip from it, and we'll talk about it right after this.
Okay.
Well, we're not leaving. We're going to be here. So we're going to do this in a film strip kind of way, just to let you check it out. This is Slavery by Another Name. It's that special film, by the way.
Buried in old courthouses, abandoned jails, libraries, and archives all across the South are tens of thousands of public documents and letters written by African Americans at the turn of the last century.
Mr. President, I have a brother about 14 years old. A man hired him from me and I heard of him no more. He went and sold him to McGree and they've been working him in prison for 12 months. He's done nothing wrong for them to keep him in chains.
Written more than 40 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, these letters bear witness to a sinister and little-known chapter in American history.
Whenever one is in a conversation where someone says, "What's wrong with black people? Why can't they get over it? Slavery ended 150 years ago," that's fundamentally false. The reality is that slavery and all of the limitations that it imposed on the future and the potential and the progress of African American families, it didn't end 150 years ago. It continued until World War II, well into the lives of large numbers of African Americans today.
For more than 80 years following the Civil War, hundreds of thousands of African Americans in the South were pulled back into the shadow of slavery.
Buying and selling African Americans ended with the 13th Amendment, but that did not translate into actual freedom.
One of the fascinating things about the text of that amendment is that it says that slavery is abolished except in the case of a punishment for a crime.
With emancipation, the nature of both crime and punishment in the South changed dramatically. In state after state, county after county, laws were passed to criminalize black life.
It was a crime in the South for a farm worker to walk beside a railroad. It was a crime in the South to speak loudly in the company of white women. It was a crime to sell the products of your farm after dark. But the most damaging of all of these laws were the vagrancy statute. In every Southern state, you became a criminal if you could not prove at any given moment that you were employed.
Once arrested, convicts released and forced to labor in coal mines, lumber camps, brick factories, and turpentine farms. They were shackled, imprisoned, and tortured, sometimes to the point of death.
The fact that blacks were treated the way they were, like animals. People could be just picked up and put in jail. They could be lost in the system. Nobody knew where to find them. They could be buried in some grave somewhere and 10 families still looking for them. Don't know where they are. I didn't know that the sheriff's department could sell slaves to corporations, steel plants, and coal mines.
The constant threat of arrest and forced labor, like the threat of lynching, cast a shadow over the South. Slavery had ended, but true freedom had not begun.
Okay, that was slavery by another name, and that was on PBS, and if you get a chance, look through your program guides to check it out. But I think it's important, and I did let it play through a little bit, just because I think we kind of missed the point about how peonage, I know everybody hears the word peon and don't know what it means. Peon comes from the word peonage, and back then, if you broke someone's window and it cost $40 to fix and you got arrested, the jail would turn you over to someone, whoever you broke their window from, usually somebody white. They can pay you 2 cents a month until you pay it off. But then they'll feed you and give you $5 a week, and then you'll still owe them money. That had to be abolished a little bit later. So when people start talking about slavery and what happened to black folks, I think it's important that we talk about this. And I know it's Black History Month, so I did want to cover this because we're talking about, in our next segment, the whole Lil Wayne controversy and his lyrics that Stevie Wonder made a comment on. But before we go to that, again, that was Slavery by Another Name. It's going to be on PBS. Up first, Kathleen.
Well, one comment is I think I'm going, as commissioner, I am going to declare and proclaim that Black History Month has been extended for the full year of 2013 because there is so much information that we don't have and don't know that it's, you know, 28 days. And just, you know, interestingly enough that we get the shortest month for Black History Month, but I'm just saying. Well, I just want to, you know, proclaim that as Commissioner of Black on Black Crime, I've just expanded my power and authority.
Just let it go.
Yeah, to the whole country, maybe even the globe. I've extended Black on the full year.
Right.
Bravo.
We need that. And
yeah, I am heartbroken. I'm sitting here heartbroken after listening to that.
It
reaches down to your core and to your soul, because I've been big into genealogy and tracing things. And when they said lumber camps, my grandfather grew up in a lumber camp in central Louisiana. And I'm sitting here thinking that they were working potentially some of those, because Louisiana is notorious for tenant farmers, sharecroppers. Up until maybe 20 years ago, there may be some places where people are still living like that. And that my grandfather could have literally been growing up in a lumber camp, because they had the colored lumber camp and then they had the one for the white workers. They could have literally been enslaved and working in these camps. I can't fathom that.
Right.
I really can't get my mind around that. but it's true, or right. potentially true.
And so,
talking loudly in the presence of a white woman. Come on now.
Walking near a railroad track and having to prove that you had a job or you can be thrown in jail. And just to put a footnote on this, it's kind of the root of Black America's deep-seated suspicion of the criminal justice system anyway. And it's just kind of well illuminated in this particular piece about the rampant imprisonment of Black men today and how the history in an economic system depends on human kind of forced and coerced labor. So it's interesting. When I heard that piece, I said, you know what, we're playing this on the show today because we're going to talk about the misinformation of people since, our main topic is the Lil Wayne lyrics that he put on his thing. It's because we are not conscious about how present-day conditions are still reflective of those things that happened less than 80 years ago from today. And I have to remind people all the time, you know, 60s, 70s weren't that long ago, people. You know, I have to keep telling them.
The right to vote is something, you know, within just a little bit before my lifetime.
Right.
People don't really grasp that.
So even with the kids now, though, I'm saying it's no farther than your parents is all I'm saying. We all were affected by those actions, so I wanted to make sure I put that in there. I know it kind of brought the show down on another level, but it is pretty serious that we deal with this. And I didn't do a Black History kind of moment because we need to see how serious that is. And so when someone, just like the film said, when someone says, it's been a long time ago, get over it, you need to know what you're talking about.
Well, the disappointing thing that I notice, even, you know, I kind of expect to hear that sometimes from people who are not Black, but it's very disappointing to me when I hear that same comment from Black people. Like, look, get over it. We should have gotten over that by now. That was so long ago. Or I never experienced racism, or my family has never been there. You know, we are from the Caribbean, so we don't know race. You know, just like, look, come on, seriously, you
right.
know, Black Americans need to figure it out because, you know, that's not what's happening in the rest of the free world, you know, and these folks are from Africa, right? You're like, okay, yeah, all right. Nelson Mandela is still alive, and didn't he just get out of jail, like, in the 90s?
Right.
So, you know, that's disappointing as well. You know, hearing it from anybody is disappointing, but knowing that, you know, so many Black folks really don't know their history, and just because it hasn't happened in their lifetime or maybe in their parents' lifetime, they can't fathom that this was so recent. You know, 150 years, we just had someone, the oldest living person, die a couple of, like, last month or something at 119, something,
right.
you know?
Yep.
Right? And the lady
yeah.
who was at the State of the Union address was, what, 102 years old?
Right.
So
She was 102. The oldest other person prior to her was 113, and then there was the 119-year-old. Like, those
right.
are all in the last 3-4 weeks. So I want to let you know, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. Our call-in number is 909-265-9189. You can join in on the conversation. We're talking about the PBS show, A Slavery by a Different Name. We're going to go to the phone lines right now. I think I know who this is. I think this is Brother Roland from the D.C., Maryland area. Welcome to Black on Black Crime.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right, brother. And see, I kind of figured it was you. I had a feeling, but just wasn't sure.
You had that feeling.
Roland Grimes from the Roland Grimes Show. How can they reach your show, by the way, Roland?
Basically, you can go online at www.rgsportsshow.com, rgsportsshow.com, or you can go to YouTube and just punch in the Roland Grimes Show, and it'll come up for you. And, of course, you can go to solarsyracuse.com, and
there you
it'll
go.
Let you know how to find me.
We'll definitely give you some information. If you want to even catch us on Black Crime, BOBC at solarsyracuse.com, hey, we'll hook you up with Roland as well. I know you want to make a comment on this.
Yeah, man, I was listening to the young lady speak about our history and how we don't know it. Basically, I have to consider myself real fortunate. Grew up in Southeast Washington, D.C. at a time when the police officers were black, the dentists were black, physicians were black, and quite frankly, I didn't even know that we weren't running everything until I was 11 or 12 years old. I saw stuff on television, but I just thought that was just another world. I thought that was just another planet on a Brady Bunch.
Right.
But what I experienced every day were black folks who were mayors, mayors, city councilmen. So within my purview, but more importantly, at my school at the time, which was Kimball Elementary School in Southeast Minnesota Avenue, Eli, black history was part of our norm. It was something that we learned about all of the time. The teachers integrated lessons about our history in almost everything that we did. Now, of course, we had Black History Week back then.
Right.
We had we had contests, and we did different kind of skits. But Sojourner Truth, you know, Jim Brown, Arthur Ashe, you know, living legends and those who had passed away, we received monthly doses, weekly doses of those folks. So I had a sense of black pride at that time. Now, quickly, what's happened since then, my observation, and from working inside of schools, especially schools in quote-unquote urban environments or black neighborhoods, it's not there anymore. Not only is the system not teaching it, but the teachers themselves aren't teaching it. Whether the teachers are black or white, they're not integrating those lessons into their academic paradigm. In some ways, I guess maybe, you know, it can be a violation of the curriculum system, but we don't need curriculums to dictate to us. We need to dictate what the curriculums are going to be.
Right.
And until we do that, you know, you talk about inside the home, outside, but young people, and I'm just talking about young people spend the majority of their time at school. When they're home, they're not really around their parents that much. So if they're not getting that repetitive lesson in school, like they're getting other repetitive lessons, then it doesn't sink in.
All right, but I want to pull a conversation out a little bit, because I know when we start talking about systems, we're talking about something totally different, because we are kind of contributing to that. What is it that we need to do just generally in our everyday to keep us current and keep mindful about the system that's programming you to be one way or another?
I mean, my response to that is simple. Not necessarily easy. If you consider yourself a Christian and you're not reading the Bible and you're not going to Bible study lessons and going to church, then it's hard for those lessons to take root in you. We are not daily, weekly, monthly, whatever, feeding ourselves on our own history. Then we're never going to get it. So we're not going to remember it, and we're not going to own it, and we're not going to honor it. So the simple answer is we individually, collectively, however you want to look at it, well, we have to make that part of our daily digest. We are right. Consuming something every day, whether it's scandal on TV, whether it's, you know, man, look, NBA All-Star Weekend, good gracious. You know, so it's not like we can't be programmed. It's not like we can't program ourselves.
We're not feeding ourselves
enough of this information.
We talked about scandal and all these other things about programming. And, again, we know how this goes, but we have to do what we can to kind of, you know, pull back from all of this craziness, right? We seem to forget. Black History Month doesn't even seem to remind us to not do those kind of things. So, you know, hang out with us, Roland, because we're going to come back and still talk about this whole Lil Wayne, Stevie Wonder thing. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. Our call-in number is 909-265-9189. You can join in on the program. You can catch us in the chat room if you have any comments. And also, I want you to, you know, feel free to email us at bobc at soulofsyracuse.com if you have any. If you have any comments and questions, we'll be right back after this break.
We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call or visit fatherhood.gov to learn more.
How many more? How many more street corners?
How many more schools?
How many more movie theaters?
How many more halftime moments of silence?
Enough.
For the children of Sandy Hook Elementary.
Demand a plan.
You can't win without a plan. I chose the game.
I played the game.
This right here?
Oh, baby, this is not a game.
It's time.
It's time for our leaders to do something.
Demand a plan right now.
Right now. Now.
What's better, doing two things at once or just one? You sure?
I am absolutely confident.
Two times is awesome. The thing I can do is wave my head and wave.
That's amazing. I've never seen anything like that.
Look, I can do.
Hold on, I'm watching this.
It's not complicated. Doing two things at once is better. And only AT&T's network lets you talk and surf on your iPhone 5.
This is a story about BK from BK. Bernard King from Brooklyn, New York. It's 1984. The garden is packed, and I'm sitting in the last row. I mean, I could touch the roof. And Bernard King, he was giving an inch to business. 10, 20, 40 points. Second half, 50, 60 points. He was stopping and popping, posting and toasting. All hail the king.
And you know what? You never know who's going to wear the crown next.
Dad, where do babies come from?
There's a planet. It's called Babylandia. That's right, it's filled with babies. Uh-huh, babies of all kinds. And when the time is just right, there's a space launch.
All systems go.
And that, son, is where babies come from.
But Jake said babies are made when mommies and daddies...
You go, play with us on the bus.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. We're on with Commissioner Kathleen. I know I had to pump it up really quickly. How you doing, Kathleen? Uh-oh, Kathleen's going in and out on us.
Oh.
Right. Okay, you're
great,
good.
How are you?
Good, good. We have Daniel on. What's up, Daniel?
I'm all right.
Okay, all right.
He's back to 78.
And you know, since Roland's here, I want to tell you about the T-Funkster we have on the line with us. What up, bro?
If anybody gets funked up, you know it's going to be you.
Because you know, we can do this all day, and I had to cut that a little short.
All day long, brother.
We could do a whole P-Funk show. I don't know if we kick Kathleen out of here, if she'd be good with this, but I know Daniel and Roland will be able to hang. Kathleen, you good?
All right.
Good, I'm good.
Oh, child. This is another universe.
See, I'm telling you.
I hear it coming.
Ronnie knows the P-Funk. Don't start
okay.
Now.
Oh, see that? Okay.
Do tell.
Don't make us. I know. You know what? You know what I'm going to do next week? I'll have me cracking up. Next week, we're going to have a P-Funk break, and we're just going to kind of lay out some P-Funk on the show. Now, that's going to be a black on black crime for those people who don't know black people. Like, that's going to be that.
What are we talking about?
I don't know. understand.
What do you mean, syndrome? Twiddly dum, humdrum don't succumb. What does that mean, mommy?
No, mommy,
what's a funkadelic?
Somebody play Wheels on the Bus. Like, they go right back to that commercial. You go play Wheels on the Bus. All right, now, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. And in case this is your first time joining us, hey, I guess we'll slow it down. Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else, white, black, or whatever, no one else. And so on this show, again, we're talking about our main topic. We're just going to go into that music legend, international world icon Stevie Wonder had to come out and make some comments about the Lil Wayne or Dwayne Michael Carter Jr. is government. Lil Wayne made I know, I had to throw that out. That was a black old black crime. My bad, I was hating on Lil Wayne. My fault. He had some lyrics referring to Emmett Till. Now, Lil Wayne sparked outrage in the community by rapping some crude and brutal reference to the brutal murder of Emmett Till, who in 1955, his death became a pivotal event in the civil rights movement. Till's cousin, Erica Gordon Taylor, demanded an apology for the disturbing lyrics that he said. I don't even know if I want to say the lyrics, but he referred to having a relation, like beating it up like Emmett Till is what he said. And what he did, it was leaked over the weekend, and she said she wants that platinum-selling New Orleans rapper to understand how his comparison to a sex act to a 14-year-old Chicago native's tortured death in Mississippi is hurtful to the black community. Now, she said it was a hideous murder. He was brutally beaten and tortured and shot and wrapped in barbed wire and tossed in the Tallahatchie River. The images that were fortunate to have, you know, he's fortunate that he had an open casket. They demanded that
yeah,
ugly
demand,
of racism.
They demanded an open casket.
They demanded
an open casket.
His mother
yeah.
did. And he wanted him to see.
Yep, and they put it in Jet magazine at the time. And so she said to compare the woman's anatomy to, the gateway of life to the ugly face of death, it destroyed me, is what she said. And she said, and then I had to call the elders in my family to explain to them before they heard it from some other source. I'll start with, go ahead, Daniel, I want you to talk about this. What do you think about him putting that in his lyrics?
Out of touch. A lot of our youth are out of touch with what has happened through the years. And for him to make that reference was not, if he had been able to see the documentary, had been able to see the pictures, I don't think he would have ever said that. And to understand, I mean, Mamie Till died maybe within 5 years ago.
Right.
So here is a woman who had to live her life bearing that legacy of what happened to her child. And I think that he is, you know, and Lil Wayne is a father, several times over now. Had that happened to one of his children, would he have done that? Would he have said that? Would he have been that callous? So I think just with him not being in touch, and hopefully after being spoken to by these parents or whomever, he will consider, I'm not sure that he would ever pull the song, but at least issue an apology to the family.
Kathleen, I'll let you chime in on this before I give you Epic Records' response.
You know, I'm trying to, I was hoping that you all were going to continue to talk as I try to clean up what I'm thinking, which is essentially that Lil Wayne is a pig. That's what's going through my head. So God forgive me and create a spirit within me as I try to find compassion for this young man. But I feel as though he feels like he's untouchable. I really don't think he cares how his lyrics are perceived, because this isn't the first time, in my opinion, that Lil Wayne has pushed, not even pushed the envelope, but pushed the post office into the gutter. You know, he's just gone way, way, way too far, and he just really doesn't care. So, and he's never been forced to. So I think this is part of how he brands himself, you know. And it's been accepted. So I think it's ridiculous, and I really do. I think he should be banned from the airwaves. I do. I know people. Here's the lawyer saying curb his freedom of speech, and I really do think he should be banned.
I got to jump in. I can't hold it.
Go ahead, Ronnie. We'll let you in on this.
You have compacted. He's lyrically challenged.
Well, I think it's the uneducation of Lil Wayne.
Exactly. And he's out of lyrics. I don't know who may. Luckily, we're in the witness protection program over here, so nobody can find us.
Okay.
But I believe that he was getting assistance from other rappers, some of his lyrics that he were, you know, that were really effective are not effective anymore. He's not getting that help. He doesn't have any new material. I don't know what happened to him, but right now I'm with Kathleen. He should be banned from the airwaves. We know that affects his Second Amendment right to say whatever he wants to say, but I think he should be muzzled, and he needs to go to school, and he needs...
Yeah, the ladies are jumping out on him. All right.
Boy, another writer, if he must continue to rap, he said that the lyrics weren't supposed to be leaked. And even if it wasn't supposed to be leaked, I agree with Kathleen, this was a way to get a controversy because right now he is not on top. Another lyrically challenged rapper, 2 Chainz, I don't know how much rap you guys
no.
is
All right.
on top, is scary.
All right, here's the thing.
And let me throw in as well that this is so disgustingly offensive to women. That I can't imagine that any woman would want to, you know, women should just boycott him because it's just.
You would be surprised.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
I'm not surprised. I really am not.
Okay, you wouldn't
but
be
I'm
surprised.
Just saying, if I want to go on record to make sure that I say that this is despicable and just so inappropriate where it comes to. When it comes to women and Emmett Till and Black history and culture and just, you know, decency. I'll stop, Jerome.
You guys are giving him a lot of credit, and I'm going to go to Roland, but before I go to Roland, because I'm not giving Lil Wayne that kind of credit. Like, I think he's just not educated. That's kind of his thing, and when you are removed from people, you have issues. But anyway, before I say that, Epic Records said last week that it regret the unauthorized remix, and it was, how did they put this? They said that the unauthorized remix version that was employing great effort, that it was employing great records to pull it down, and that brief reference will be stricken from the song, is what they said. And when it's officially released later on, you won't have any reference to it at all. Now, Gordon Taylor, the relative of Emmett Till, said Epic's chairman and CEO, L.A. Reid, personally reached out to her on a conference call. Reid said on that call that Future, whoever that artist is, and Lil Wayne were cooperative once he got the point and realized that it was beyond the zone. I don't know what that means. And he immediately pulled it. Both artists agreed to pull it. So with that being said, I don't know what that means that it was out of zone, but I'll let you chime in on this, Roland.
Well, first thing is that, you know, Lil Wayne doesn't need to be muzzled. He doesn't need to be castrated or anything. He just needs to spend about 30 days with me and a few other brothers with nobody
right.
else around. You know, with nobody else around, so we can break them down and build them back up the way we're supposed to do our young men. So that's the first thing. The second thing, real quick, I remember seeing a documentary on MTV or something a long time ago where Birdman was walking through the house and it was opening doors and was saying, hey, this is where Lil Wayne goes in and he'll have 4 different women in 4 different rooms and he'll rotate the rooms. And this was 12, 13 years ago. You know,
right.
He'll rotate the room and he'll have sex with a different woman in every room. And this is how he was living. You know, the final piece of this is, you know, pornography and idolatry has no limitations. And what happens is, you know, talk about pushing the envelope, you know, if you look through history, you know, any time that you're chasing those idols and any time that your mind becomes pornographic to the point where to the point where you're beyond the you're beyond reality. You know, us funkadelics, we used to call it funkin' beyond reality, but we knew where to stop. We knew there were no real spaceships, and we knew that we weren't going to fly on the mothership. It was a silly.
Right.
These folks have gone so far. They've gone so far with it that fantasy is now reality to them. And
right.
If you stay, and this is the same for you, me, and anybody else, if you stay under idolatry and you stay within pornography long enough, you lose your boundaries. That is just like drinking. It's like smoking. It's like doing anything else where you allow those demons to get into your spirit to that extent. Then you say stuff like what he said. He knew who Emmett Till was. That's why he gave the reference. He had seen the picture. That's why he gave the reference. He knew what it was.
He and whomever
he was involved in decided that this was going to be the symbol that they were going to use to heighten the stanza.
Okay. Kathleen, she wanted to comment on that.
The only issue I have with this is how can we say on one hand that uneducated and doesn't know what he's saying, and on the other hand say he knows what he's saying. You know what I mean? It's one or the other.
I never said he was uneducated.
If I could just finish, my point is that if he knows who Emmett Till was, right, and he understands that the beating on Emmett Till was so horrific, that's why he used Emmett Till, because the beating was so horrific, and that's what he thinks is supposed to be so, you know, over the top. And that's, you know, yes, lyrically challenged and everything else, but I've got to find something that's so over the top to say that I'm that bad, I'm that down, and that's what I'm using. And so I think he's aware of what he's doing. Yes, he may not be aware of the fact that it may draw such repercussion. Maybe he doesn't think that people with a brain are listening to him and will challenge him or whatever, but he did it for the shock value.
It's just like that nobody liked that commercial that they ran on the Super Bowl. But the next day it had 6,777,000 hits on 6 million.
What are you talking about?
On YouTube. That commercial with GoDaddy that they ran on the Super Bowl. You know,
right.
As disgusting as people said that commercial was, the fact is that we will look at disgusting stuff. And when you're in this business of media and you're in this business of publishing, whether it's music or whether it's video, whatever it is, all you're doing is counting the eyeballs. All you're doing is counting the ear holes. So anything that you can do to create those eyeballs and ear holes, Destiny Child, way back in the day, before they even became who they are now, they created their own firestorm, and that was like one of the most genius moves in the business, where they had this internal conflict, and it became like this firestorm, and all of a sudden everybody started paying attention to Destiny Child. Nobody even cared about them before that. So as long as you can create that kind of shock value that you just mentioned, the ear holes will listen, because, look, we're talking about it. The eyeballs will pay attention to it. Now everybody's going to wonder what this record is going to be like. You're going to have people listening to it, white folks, black, Asians, all over the world, listening to this thing to see, what else is this song going to be about?
Right.
So mission accomplished.
Well, let me interrupt both. Oh, Daniel, you want to go ahead. Go ahead.
It's one of those things, like you said, the eyeballs. People want to see the 9-car pileup. They're going to stop and they're going to look and they're going to go, what's so bad about it? And
right.
Because of what he said and because of what we're talking about, people are going to want to listen. I'm actually trying to remember the lyrics myself. I may have heard them, but it didn't disturb me enough, but I'm not closely related to the Till family.
Right.
As far as censoring him, no, that's not going to happen because, you know, it's just not the kind of country we live in. People call for that kind of thing, but it won't actually happen. He needs to be... He has been approached by the family and approached by the record company, and they're doing that CYA business. So I think it's been him.
Right. And I want to say before we go any further, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. You know, this is a show that we consciously, and it is not a show about hating and all of that good stuff. I know what people normally think when they come in there, so I like to give our definition. Black on Black crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. We are talking about, on this program, Lil Wayne's mention or his reference to the Emmett Till on his, I guess, CD or record that was going to be released. It was leaked out, but it hasn't come out yet, so that wasn't out in the sphere. But before we do that, let's go straight to the phone lines. I think we have Coach Dean on the line. How you doing, brother?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? How's everybody doing?
Hey, Coach, what's up?
Hey, listen, one of the, you know, I kind of heard bits and pieces because I actually started out listening on the internet, and I said, I got to call in on this. One thing that we all must understand, when that young man sat up on Barbara Walters and looked her in the face and looked in the camera and said, Barbara, I'm a gangster, and I can take whatever I want to take, that's what everybody should have realized. You're not dealing with a normal person. In addition to that, how was this young man raised? He was not raised by a mother and father. He was raised by the record industry. Remember, he released his first album when he was like 13 years old and made
right.
millions at 13 years old. So what you have is somebody basically making millions and millions of dollars. He's like, listen, I don't care what you guys say. I don't care what you guys think. I don't care what you guys do to me. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And if you want a good laugh, YouTube his lawyer interview about the case that he had against QD3. It you get a real sense of who we're talking about. And I got to tell you, that dude is as educated as they come.
Oh, no question.
He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's saying. And he's, like you said, he's got everybody talking about it. So you know what? They'll probably pull it. But somehow, some way, he'll come back with a throwback or a dig with something else to get that attention raised. So we're talking about a young man that's just pretty much, like I said, I mean, it was really interesting to see him on national, a black man on national TV proclaim himself as a gangster. I take and do whatever I want, Ms. Barbara. That ought to tell you something.
And it wasn't leaked. And it was not leaked.
Amen. It wasn't leaked.
And I'm sure it wasn't leaked, but, you know, that was the official report that came out. I'm just reading the press part of it because, you know, press kind of manipulates perception. So they said it was leaked, but although, again, it was probably before they pressed it, so before the record company had it, they probably put it out just to get some kind of buzz. You know how that stuff goes with what is it called? Wow. With you know, mixtape stuff, so they probably put it out. I got to
make a correction. I said Barbara Walters. It was actually Katie Couric's interview.
I don't know why it went on there anyway. Okay, Kathleen, I'm sorry.
To me, it's the same test that they did with those slave dolls from Django. You know, let's put it out there and see whether or not it's going to ruffle feathers or how people are going to respond to it, because you know, I really believe that folks think that, you know, black people are sleeping and there won't be enough, or there will be. It'll get him what he's looking for, which is the shock value, which will get him everybody talking about him instead of Beyonce and Jay-Z. You know, what the reality of is, these entertainers are constantly doing the one-up. Well, what can I do, you know, to turn the cameras towards me now? Whether it's a positive or a negative, you know, hey, turn the cameras this way, get them off Beyonce and Jay-Z for a minute, and let me get back in there.
All right.
Exactly, and they better do that, because the fact of the matter is, from a business standpoint, every single one of those guys are 12 months away from being bankrupt, because 90% of what they get in revenue, they get it even before, or a large percentage, they get it even before they released the album. They borrow the money, they're leveraged to the hilt, and just like what Hammer went from 33 million to zero in a year, that's how that stuff happens. So if they don't continue to do it the way that they're doing it, so that we will continue to talk about it, listen to it, pay attention to it, then they're not going to continue to make the money.
Okay, you know, in the true fashion of black and black crime, I know we were talking about Stevie Wonder's comments against Lil Wayne. We never even got to his comments. So here's Stevie Wonder's comments. He said, I am not happy with Lil Wayne's vulgar lyrics that reference Emmett Till. The R&B legend said that the rapper's disturbing verse should have not made it beyond the recording studio for the world to hear. Wonder said, you cannot do that. I think you just got to have somebody around you or someone around you. Even if they're the same age or older, that is wiser to say, yo, this is not happening. Don't do that. Now, that was from Stevie Wonder. He took the high road farther than I would have taken. But on that note, let's we have a call on the line. Let's just see who is on. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from? Caller from 661 area code.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. What's your name, caller?
Hey, my name is Bertie Tolar. This is my first time to tune into the show, yeah. But I'm having a hard time trying to grasp the concept of black on black crime. You said it's looking at whether or not we would ask if we would analyze other groups the same way that we're analyzing black people. But in my mind, I only see black people. I'm only for. I look at everyone as either you're for black people or you're not for the progress of black people. I know we all live in this world together, but I really would not care what an Asian rapper did or Asian, all these other superstars or different groups, what they did. I only care whether or not someone is for the progress of black people or not. And, like, I don't quite get where this is going.
Okay, well, not respect that, and thanks for your call. I'll explain that. Black on Black Crime is a show about the fact that we overanalyze when someone does something negatively or what you perceive to be negative opposed to something that they perceive to be positive. So let's just take this case and Stevie Wonder's comments about Lil Wayne. In this case, we usually go through the program, and I know it's your first time, we usually ask if it's justified for him to criticize Lil Wayne. Black on Black Crime is about the comments that other people make about each other. And I know what you're saying about caring about other communities, but that is not this show. This show is about the overemphasis, like people who never pay attention to the president criticize the president for things that are not necessarily about him being black. That is just an overtly focused person on him being black critiquing what they think he should do in the black community opposed to what any other president should be doing. So Black on Black Crime is about the overt focus and criticism of black people, of other black folks. Did you have a comment that you wanted to make on this?
Right. That seems perfectly justifiable, though. Like what,
right.
For example, in this case, what Stevie Wonder, he's looking at this rapper Lil Wayne who made these comments about Emmett Till. That seems like perfectly justifiable to even in this instance, maybe he's not overanalyzing it. But if he were, it seems like okay, because you've got to look at here's someone who does not, all the callers before just said, of course, this rap artist does not have the, he doesn't have the heart of black people in his mind. None of the actions he's ever taken are for the betterment of black people. So, of course, it seems like more than justifiable to always cut those people down. Like, they should be taken out. And, like, we shouldn't even, like, use our energy and time to focus on them.
You know what? And first of all, I want to thank you for your call. Thank you for your call. Thanks for calling. Because that is the main thing that I want to say. I don't even think we should be wasting time on it. We just had a lot of calls, and I am thankful that people are calling and talking about this topic. But it really is way too much to spend too much energy on Lil Wayne. I just kind of think it's crazy. That's just me. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back because we have some more entertaining stuff. It is Black History Month, and I want to talk about some other stuff. But Lil Wayne, it's not really that serious to me to even talk about him too much. So we have other phenomenal people to talk about. So I want to say you can call in and join us. 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. We'll be back after these messages. Kathleen and Daniel, are you guys still with me?
Still with you.
Okay. All right. We'll be back after this message.
Welcome to Esprinet News, Spotlight in Black History. Contrary to popular belief, one black family did sail on the Titanic. Haitian native Joseph Philippe Lemercier LaRoche came from a rich and powerful family. His uncle was the president of Haiti. Joseph could speak two languages, and he had an engineering degree but could not find a job because of his color. He and his wife decided to take their daughters, Simone and Louise, to visit his mother. They made a second-class reservation on the Titanic at the last minute. Joseph's wife and kids did survive on the April 15, 1912 voyage when the ship hit an iceberg and began to sink. LaRoche loaded his pregnant wife, Juliet, and two daughters into Lifeboat 14 just before the ship sank at 2:20 a.m. Joseph and 1,500 other passengers would go down with the ship. Now, in 1918, 6 years after the death of her husband, the White Star Line awarded LaRoche $22,119. In 1980, Juliet LaRoche died at age 91. I'm Jerome Esprit for Esprinet News. This is our spotlight in Black history on ACN.
Mind, why don't you pull that bass up a little bit more, Mom?
I will.
Yeah, and, pull up them drums, a little high hat. I want to hear them drums kicking. Kicking so hard, you can feel it way back in Mississippi.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome, on with Kathleen. We have Daniel on today, along with Roland Grimes from the Roland Grimes Show, and we have Coach Dean on. What's going on, people?
Hey.
trying to put on my Roland board.
I missed that. Reverb that tape for me.
I said I'm trying to put on my Roland board.
Voice? A little bit more bass in there. See that?
Hey, man, I can't get that low.
Hey, you got to give it up when you have to give it up, right?
Right.
What's the blinds, brother?
No problem, man.
Now we have Coach Dean on. We have all these P-Funk folks on. So, again, can somebody send Carlos an email or something? We can get Sir Nose on here and have to order somebody.
Sir Nose. He's going up.
Hallelujah, baby.
For those
who don't know, Carlos is Sir Nose.
Sir Nose. My bad.
Oh,
bad. All right. Now, you know,
I just said a living legend.
There we go. All right. Kathleen, we have to make sure Kathleen's all right. That was a little heated for Kathleen. Kathleen, you good?
I'm all right.
You two and all of us, huh?
Yeah, I woke up now, this whole conversation before. I'm awake now.
Boosa. There we go.
Good morning, Kathleen.
You know, because Kathleen and Ronnie over there was going to jump on Lil Wayne.
You should have heard us on the break. We had just gone way out into the stratosphere on the break. That's the stuff that we need to record. What happens on the break?
No, we don't. We don't need to record with on break. All right, really quickly, we have someone on the phone line. We're going to get their comment for area code 904. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Tahaka. I'm on a L Bay.
Okay.
I'm calling from Jacksonville, Florida. And I was just inside you. Chat room and listening to your broadcast.
Okay.
We're talking about black on black crime.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to add that one of the major reasons why we're having this is because we have brothers and sisters inside the United States that have been detached from their cultural roots and their ancient story. And no plant on the planet can grow unless it have a root. And so the powers that be understand this principle in planting and farming, and what they have done is done the same thing to you. But when you learn this and begin to reattach yourself to this and remove fear and replace fear with specialized trainings and skills, with the understanding of looking at the big picture, that you as a species are being fostered and maneuvered into a permanent underclass position and forced back into slavery. And you know that the United States of America is not a country, it's a corporation, and it has never been without its slaves.
Yep.
So when you understand this, then you know what you must do as a man. We're having a hard time making the transformation from boy to man. So we need to know the mechanics of how to do that.
Yep, and I want to, you know, while we're at it, I want to thank you for your call. And a part of what the big picture is, we do need to understand that from a systemic standpoint. Now, black on black crime, we're not talking about it from a systemic standpoint, but that is problematic, and that is something that we need to talk about. We need 12 shows for that, and everybody who has a show need to bring that into a show. Now, on that note, we have another caller from area code 973. What's your name and where are you calling, caller?
Yes, can I be heard?
Yes.
Yes, brother, this is King T in New Jersey.
Oh, how you doing, brother?
I'm great. Great, excellent show. We have people on the blogosphere and in the chatosphere that even deny the existence of a black-on-black crime. And we also have a phenomenon within our people that anyone who's successful in black is untouchable and uncriticizable. So in other words, as long as you're rich and you get money doing it, it's fine. That's wrong.
Right.
Lil Wayne, this is not his first time showing black self-hatred. He made comments about his dark-skinned daughter. He stated that he would not have another dark-skinned daughter or daughter by a black woman because he wanted his future daughters to have straight, good hair. Okay, so this man has obviously self-hate issues, and he doesn't have knowledge of himself. But, like the caller said, we need shows that focus on the good artists that we have, the positive pro-black artists that show black love and concern for black people.
Right.
We need a network, not just a show, a whole network, just to show positive black images to combat. Because we are promoting Lil Wayne by even having this show.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to say this. I never meant for us to even talk about him so long, but sometimes you need your elders to kick you back in line. Now, I am not a fan of Lil Wayne's at all, but I don't hate him either. I'm saying that those people who take their money and end up oppressing everybody else with, we don't play with nonsense. Go ahead.
You know, it's like, it just goes back to this thing where, you know, we don't have the vehicle, we don't have the institution to make people pay for it when they make comments like that. We can't even criticize Obama for not concentrating on black issues. You see, it's the same phenomenon. Obama is a black president, he got 99% of the black vote, but we're not supposed to expect anything from him for us in particular. You see, because he's black. Don't hit him because he's black. It's the same phenomenon.
First, Kathleen, before you start, I want to thank King T for his call. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Oh, I just wanted to say we have all kinds of institutions to deal with it. Whether or not we use them is another thing. But one way to deal with that is very simple. Don't look him up on iTunes. Don't purchase his CD. You could, you know, not patronize the record company that is producing him. You know, let people know, definitely reaching out to young people and educating them about what music is and the responsibility of African-American artists is definitely something that can happen in the household and in the family as we deal with our children, as parents. There's all kinds of stuff. And we have this network. We have ESPNet News. We got OWN. We have stuff now. Now, not saying that we don't need more, but there's a whole lot available to us, and using it wisely because as African Americans, we patronize a tremendous amount, and billions of our dollars are spent on entertainment annually. So yes, we do. We have a means by handling this kind of thing. And I think I understand that we don't want to promote Lil Wayne by having the discussion, but it is by having the discussion that we learn.
Yes, we are talking about it. We're talking about Lil Wayne. It is very serious when you start talking about the community and dealing with the community, talking about the president and all of that good stuff. Yes, you can criticize someone who has money and power. That's not what anybody's saying. What is being said here is black-on-black crime. Stevie Wonder made a statement about Lil Wayne, and we're asking if it was a black-on-black crime. I think the consensus is that it was a justified black-on-black crime. Now, let me go, since we don't have a lot of time left in the show, to our world of entertainment. I just want to put some stuff out there, and coincidentally, the brother mentioned something that I was going to talk about. Fox announced that it's calling a transformative new partnership with historically black colleges and universities, HBCUs, designed to further the development of diverse voices across its company entertainment businesses, called Fox/HBCU Media Alliance, which is FHMA is what they're calling it. The union will bring HBCU students, faculty, and alumni together with executives from Fox Media and Entertainment in an effort to build a strong pipeline for students interested in pursuing careers in film and in the television industry, and advance the careers of HBCU alumni as well. Now, they're going to start, it's based in Los Angeles, but FHMA will have chapters in Washington, D.C., New York, led by influential HBCU alumni from the media. So I just wanted to make sure I announce that. And at the launch, Howard University and Hampton will serve as inaugural institution partners.
That's hot.
That is hot. So I wanted to make sure I said that. And Tracy Edman, president and CEO of All Right TV, announced they have a new programming slate of family-oriented, faith-friendly content developed for their channel, created in collaboration with YouTube. Now, All Right TV was launched on Easter, March 31st, and will appeal to aspirational and inspiration goal of consumers of all ages with buzzworthy comedies, talk, reality, music, all that streaming video. So I wanted to get into that just to talk about, here are some of the shows that were coming out, just in case you didn't know, and what you guys thought of it. Now, there's this show from Hall of Famer. I know Roland may have something on this. Hall of Famer Deion Sanders debuts two inspirational reality series. First one, Sports Dads. Sanders comes to the rescue of families to counsel families of sports-obsessed parents pushing their children too hard. And he will also produce The Truth, an inspirational show that will uplift and motivate viewers to put more positive spin on the outlook into practicing. So what do you think about that show in particular, Roland?
That show in particular, cool. I mean, I think that obviously that's an issue that we deal with in education quite a bit. We almost got to the point where parents are pimping their kids. So from that standpoint, in general, I'll close by saying this. I think what the young lady said a little earlier, I believe it was Kathleen, what she said about leveraging our dollars, leveraging our pool, our people, our population. And I think part of what happens is you're seeing this shift now towards socially conscientious conscientious programming. You're starting to see this shift. And I think that shift comes from people like her voicing the things that she's voicing. Now, I remember when we first launched the Roland Grimes show, and we talked to some folks, and I'm not going to mention the network, and they said, first of all, nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see, black folks sitting around talking to other folks about positive things and about education development. It's, look, if you want to shake your tail, you want to pull out some pistols, you want to talk some trash, come back and see us. And this was a black network, by the way.
Okay.
So it was like, okay, well, if people don't want to see it, no wonder you don't want to broadcast it. So
right.
Then we decided to take the internet where it can't be controlled like that. The point is, when we start saying and start operating, you know, with the remote control and with our purchasing, how this stuff happens, we start affecting it, then you're going to see more socially conscientious programming come out.
Right.
And those partnerships that you mentioned, like with Fox, you know, Foxes get slammed because it has been getting slammed. Ever
right.
since the election or even before then, you
their
know, for their slam, yeah, you know, for what is what appears to be, you know, rather racist kind of slant on their programming. So now they're responding by creating these alliances. Now I will caution you this,
what's
you
that?
Know, I will caution you this. You know the Indians, you know the Indians sold it for a bushel of corn. And Africans sold us for a pipe dream. So it's real easy to co-opt us, and it's real easy to co-opt us from the top down. It's harder even to co-opt us from the bottom up. But it's easy to co-opt us from the top down because you have these people, many who are, as you say, you know, very influential people in the industry who are black, you know, who are educators, et cetera, and they're looking for their opportunity to rise for their own aggrandizement. And they're going to allow these things to happen. And they historically, they sell us right down the river. They sell us out for their own development. And then in the end, we're left with nothing.
Now, there's another show that's on. I want to ask Kathleen about. Go ahead.
Rome, I just wanted to say that show, and I'm going to ask you if you'll do this for me since I have the connection. That show, they need my book for that Sports Dad program, you know, because really. No, seriously. You know, don't you think?
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, and Roland is the author of what is your two books, Roland?
Oh, jeez, man, don't give me trouble.
Okay, never mind. How about Roland? All right. I'm sure everybody kind of knows who Roland is and his relationship. They're professional athletes, so I know with your sports show, you're probably making a little bit of noise over there. And Roland also has a background of working with students, with schools, as counselors, to know that sports dads have some they need all of that stuff. They need your book. They need counseling.
Yeah.
They need all of that stuff. And there's probably a wide range of things that they probably need on that show. There's also a show that Issa Rae, she's the creative mind between this internet show called Awkward Black Girl. She's bringing a show called The Choir, and it's a comedic series about personal and spiritual and often controversial dramatics of a choir, like of a church choir.
Oh,
so
my.
That, I don't know. I don't know what that's going to be about, like how that's going to be. But anybody interested in The Choir?
Well, I sang in a male chorus in Dallas at one point, so I know all the ins and outs of that, but when you add to it, when there's a mixed chorus, there's all type of drama. So I'm sure it's going to be definitely something to take a look at.
And the name of the network is Inspire TV. So these are just kind of some positive things. I know people keep saying that they're not positive things on TV. So I want to tell you about some of the upcoming programs that's coming on Inspire TV. Now, there's also a show written by Vanessa Middleton. She's a former co-executive producer of The Cosby Show. Walk This Way is a comedy sketch series in which parishioners seek advice from their pastor for some of the most unusual problems. Now, the series star, Michael Keith Williams from Boardwalk Empire and The Wire. There's also a weekly church stream if you're interested in this as well. It's a live stream weekly church service and sermons of pastors from around the country, with an innovative platform is how they describe it, in a national database of devotion and worship churches. Now, it's called Verge. It features some of the foremost spiritual leaders, such as Bishop T.D. Jakes, Reverend Michael Beckwith, Bishop Paul Morton, and Apostle Frederick K.C. Price.
All right.
You know, there's a few more. We won't talk about them, but there's an amateur blog series called Preach On, Teach On. So those things are on All Right TV. You
nice.
Want to say, Kathleen?
That's nice. I love it.
Yep. So just to keep it on a positive note on our way out, I just wanted to make sure I mentioned those shows. And also, did anybody see the Beyonce documentary?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen.
The pre-show too. We saw the Beyonce takeover is what they're calling it.
Yeah, it's called Life Is But a Dream on HBO. You said you saw it?
Yes, I did, and I watched the Oprah interview with her for the hour before that, and the hour before that, the Jay-Z masterclass. So the family had a takeover on Saturday night on television.
Oh well, you know what? That's how television does, right? It's going to market everybody and their mama across the board if they can do it. So they're big stars. So we have to expect that. But Beyonce's uncle. Beyonce had her uncle who was there. He gave light to his mother's sister named Ronald Beyonce. I guess is how you pronounce it. He revealed that their family name was the inspiration behind her name. Now, Ronald is Tina Knowles' biological brother. He said Beyonce's first name was inspired by his family side. He said my sister Tina didn't think we had enough boys in the family and tried to keep Beyonce's name going. She also gave Beyonce our last name as her first name. Now, that leads me to an interesting point to names. Now, you know how everybody names their kids a combination of their mother and father name? So I'm going to play a game with Roland, Daniel, and Kathleen. I'm going to give you two names. Y'all going to tell me the name, okay?
All right. All
right.
Y'all with me? All right. Tyrone and Yolanda.
Come
Roland,
on.
You said Yolanda, that's Daniel. Kathleen?
Tyrone and Yolanda. Tyronda.
Yes. Okay, Roland.
Roland said Talanda.
Oh, you said Talanda? Daniel.
Yeah, that was well. I say Thailander.
I'm just going to go with plain Tayana. I'm going to take the Yolanda in there. How about a Fred and Tarika?
Tarika.
Yeah, because that's going to be the CNN host, Frederica. I don't know what her mom and daddy name is, but that's it. We'll do a really set. Sal and Kelly.
Ooh.
That's right. We don't do that. That's just Sally. I just wanted to say that. Now, I just want to thank you all for listening to Black on Black Crime.
You ain't right. I cannot believe you pulled that one off.
I'm bad.
First flag of the day. The first flag of the day.
Hey, we got to have a Hermanetta.
Herman who?
Hermanetta. We got to have a Hermanetta in that.
Oh, no. All right, y'all going to start committing crimes in a minute. So I want to thank everybody.
I'm getting you back for that Silent Kelly one.
How about Mercedes and Toyota?
Oh, God, never mind. All right, thanks for listening to Black on Black Crime. Check us out every Monday at 2 o'clock. We'll try not to be so silly at the end of the program, but it just felt that way today. Sal and Kelly, just take that with you, Roland. Just let that marinate. I'll see you guys next week.
Oh, man.
All right, peace out, people. Later.
Later.
Pinto and Jeep.
Oh, God. Honda and...